Scene 4. Under a Black Sun.
The last few billion kilometers towards the center of the system of the Black Sun were really just a hop for the TARDIS. I orbited homeworld for a short time, gathering information about the planet, the Eloi, and the Vector. Homeworld was scary to look at. Any planet without sunlight is scary, I knew that well enough, but homeworld was a particularly trist, dreary, and colorless place. With not enough light to support plant life, the planet was covered in vast swathes of a grayish-purple, glistening and shapeless mass, which looked like gigantic kelp on the verge of decomposition. As opposed to what I had seen at the outpost, here, the Eloi seemed agreeable enough. But something was wrong here as well. At first, it was only a vague feeling I got from collecting newscasts and scanner images. After a few hours, I could put a finger on it. Homeworld seemed to be dying. But not from some catastrophic event, a nuclear war, a plague, or a cosmic collision. Rather, its air was that of a clockwork winding down. A sense of gloom pervaded the planet, which was hard to reconcile with older records, which showed the Eloi as jolly people, well capable of having a good time. But this was gone, swept away by a greyish wind. Cities had been abandoned, industrial plants had been left for good, sometimes without shutting them down properly. Bridges had collapsed. Some regions of land were under the cover of dark clouds, not rain clouds, but smoke, dust, and soot. In these regions, houses were destroyed, whole streets, in what appeared like a savage war. The radio and TV stations were full of supposedly good news, yet a mournful and sad countenance of the newscasters belied their messages. Large parades of empty-handed soldiers, huge throngs of listless children united in a joyless song and dance, watched by crowds of routinely disinterested bystanders. I couldn't help but sneer at the monitor screens. Homeworld bore all the hallmarks of a dictatorship gone terribly awry. And it wasn't difficult to find out who the head of this dictatorship was. The logo he had chosen for his rule was an arrow. A bit trite for the Vector. At least he didn't put too much of a personality cult around himself. Much more than portraying himself as the one who brought the dawn of a better tomorrow to the Eloi, the Vector stressed the fact that he was the sole ruler of the planet now and for the foreseeable future, and that resistance would immediately result in the truth. I was electrified when I heard the broadcast. The truth. Neither the newscasters nor anybody else found it necessary to expound which truth they were speaking about. Obviously, everyone on Homeworld was sufficiently indoctrinated to understand the meaning of the truth. Last week, in the village of Traslagar, one segment reported matter-of-factly, a conspiracy of rebels was uncovered. The village was subsequently exposed to the truth, accompanied by pictures of burning houses and fighting in the streets. I stopped the recording of the news transmission and rewound. The skirmishes in the streets of the doomed village had caught my attention. The Vector's regime did have a kind of militia. I had seen them. They wore uniforms at least as naff as those of the Chancellorroy guards of Gallifrey, with their tacky arrows. But for some obscure reason, the Vector's troops were not employed in the fightings at Traslagar or elsewhere, as far as I could tell. I wasn't watching a punitive expedition. There wasn't a uniform to be seen anywhere. This was a civil war, rebel against rebel. I turned off the transmission, not comprehending what I had seen. It was time to land on Homeworld.